Go to Acts chapter 6, continue on our study about the grace of God in Stephen's life. So Acts chapter 6. All right, Acts chapter 6, let's look at verses 1 through 6, I guess. So Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 6 to start with. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Cretans against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. So obviously we were talking about Stephen, and just the fact that Stephen already had a testimony before he was chosen to be one of the first deacons that would serve in the church and serve among the Grecian widows, helping to meet their needs and helping them in the daily ministration, trying to meet their needs and take care of them at the same time, continuing to be a testimony there in Jerusalem, and he did have a great testimony. He had a testimony that was well known, and I believe that's why he was chosen as one of the first deacons. But also, we find out that later on, obviously, he's brought before the religious rulers. He's going to be killed for his faith because he had such a strong faith. No doubt, he was someone that was not ashamed of his relationship with Jesus Christ, someone who stood upon the promises of God's word, someone who you could look at and you never saw one, as we would say, one mean bone in his body. He was someone who did not get mad at people. He did not, because even we looked at it last week where the Bible says that the man looked upon Stephen. And they looked at him, and he had like an angel of a face, the face of an angel. Meaning, you know what? His countenance was not hardened. He was not angry. He was not fearful. He was not upset. He had the peace of God abiding in him and upon him. And even when they would stone him, he would cry out for God not to lay the sin to their charge. And he's just a man who had obviously a great walk with the Lord. It testified in his life, and it's something that we all should strive for and pray for, that we would have that type of testimony, that type of conviction, and that type of relationship with God, that nothing would keep us from continuing to walk with God and continue to trust God and continue to rely upon the Lord. None of us may ever face death for our faith. But you think about Stephen. I mean, he's being stoned to death. And yet the grace of God helped him to go through that moment in his life. And it's a moment that God allowed. It never makes sense to us when a child of God suffers. It doesn't make sense to the human. Why would God allow this? Why would God allow one of his children to have stage 4 cancer and to suffer some pain going through it? It just never makes sense. Sometimes I think, again, it's amazing how people will blame God for the things that are wrong, but they never praise God for the things that are right. You'll always hear people, even just, why did God allow this person to die? Why does God allow evil in the world. You know, I asked God to do this for me. He didn't do it. But yet, people want to blame God for things that they don't get or how things don't turn out the way they want. But when things are going well, not too many people are praising God for it. They're praising themselves. Yep, I did this. I got myself through it. But when we look at the life of Stephen, Stephen praises the Lord by calling upon him. And just even if you look at chapter 7 and look at verse number 55, because all throughout the chapter 7, Stephen preaches to them a salvation message in hopes that they would turn to Christ. And praise the Lord, at least we know of one man who's in this crowd who does turn to Christ later on, and that is Paul. But in verse 55, it says, "But he, Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God." Now, again, Stephen literally, physically saw the Lord Jesus Christ standing at the right hand of the Father. He saw heaven opened. Now, no doubt that would be a wonderful encouragement to anybody to physically look up and to see the heavens open, to see God on his throne, to see Jesus Christ sitting at the or standing at the right hand of the Father, looking down upon you. No doubt that would give you encouragement to face what you're facing. But again, we've been given the Holy Spirit of God. You and I can look into the face of God and get the encouragement that Stephen got so that we can face the persecution or the opposition that comes into our life. And I love it that Stephen, it's noted here, that when Stephen looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing. Because the Bible says, you go back when Jesus ascended up to heaven, the Bible says that he sat down at the right hand of the Father to signify that the work had been done. He finished the Father's will. He paid the sin debt for every sinner on the cross of Calvary. He rose from the grave to show that he is God and to show that he gives life to anyone that will come unto him. But when a child of God is going through a situation like this and is about to pass over into eternity, I believe the Lord stands to receive them unto himself. I don't believe it's a one-time thing. The Bible tells us that Stephen sees the Lord standing, and I believe that, you know, what else did Stephen see? I kind of imagine that the Lord was giving him encouragement, looking directly at him, smiling. I don't know, maybe even putting his hand out to receive him up into heaven as he takes his last breath and is stoned to death. But what encouragement Stephen would get, no doubt that gave him the grace to continue facing what was being done to him. And that was he was being murdered for his faith. He was being stoned to death. But God gave him the grace to serve in the church. He gave him the grace, obviously, to stand upon the promises of God's word and his relationship with the Lord. So looking at number two, Stephen's grace to stand. The Bible says Stephen had just been given the great responsibility of serving in the church. The Holy Spirit worked through him to preach and witness. In verses 8 through 10 of Acts chapter 6, it says, "Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people." I mean, he was allowed to have the power to do miracles. Again, during the early church age, it was given to some to have power to be able to heal because it was a testimony that they truly were the disciples of God. They truly were the followers of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was the only one that has gone around healing people and casting out demons, and he gave his disciples when he was here, that ability to do that. And Stephen was given the same ability for a time to be able to heal. But again, it just signified that they were the disciples of Christ, that they were following the right way. And it just, again, it helped turn many to the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 9, it says, "Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen." Now again, you notice these are religious people that are disputing with Stephen. All religions are not equal. All faiths are not equal. Even if they have the name Christ on their sign, even if they say the name Jesus, does not mean they're equal to what the Bible tells us is the right way. But they were disputing against Stephen. Verse number 10, they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Because the wisdom by which he spake and had was by the Holy Spirit of God. To say that our culture is against God would be an understatement. Although Stephen lived centuries ago, he too faced an anti-God society similar to ours. Still, he was unafraid to stand for Christ. Likewise, we need to be bold witnesses for our Lord even when it is difficult. And again, we do live in an anti-Christ world. We live in an anti-God world. But again, this is the world that our Lord made. This is the world that our Lord made with the very words that proceeded out of his mouth when he said, "Let there be." I mean, you go back to Genesis. So the world does belong to the Lord, but he has allowed sin to have its moment in time and the devil to have his time. The evil man will prevail. Deceivers will deceive and be deceived throughout the centuries. But again, we know because there's coming a day when the Lord will set down his kingdom and he will reign. And we're looking forward to that day. In your notes in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13, the Bible says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." And many will use religion to do just that. Many will use religion to deceive people. That's why I say all religions are not equal. All faiths are not equal. Jesus warned of wolves in sheep's clothing that would come and scatter the flock, and they will deceive many. And many will follow after the deceivers because they have itching ears. They want to hear something new, something that's not convicting. I've had many people I've had people since I've been in the ministry even tell me, had one person one time tell me, "Well, I'm going to a different church because I want to find a church that's more faith-based." I kind of looked at my wife and, what can be more faith-based than the Word of God and Jesus Christ? But what they meant, because I found out what church they were going to go to, some church called The River, and this is back in Wisconsin, it was like, so I kind of checked into, oh, okay, more faith-based means you just do what you want to do. It has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. But, you know, people like to tag on, you know, religious words and stuff to make it seem like, you know, they're following the Lord, you know. And it's because, you know, again, if you've been a born-again believer for a while, you've probably have been convicted at different times about God's word and things in your life that's not right, because that's just the way the Lord works. Because he predestinated us to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. And in order for him to conform us into the image of Jesus Christ, well, there's things in our life that he has to get us to see that are wrong, so we admit they're wrong, so that we can stop doing it, stop watching it, stop listening to it, stop going to those places. Because again, the Lord wants to transform us in a very powerful way so that, like Stephen, when someone looks at you, they can just tell something's different without you saying a word. But then again, when you start speaking, they're like, "Well, they are really different. They are like strange. They are peculiar. They're Christians." And, you know, it's funny. Remember, there's a city that Paul goes to, and the religious, the people that are in charge of the city, they come and they're saying, you know, these men are turning the world upside down, and they've come to spread their doctrine here. And you know, and sometimes it's said, you know, though, you know, I forget how it's worded in a certain place, but it talks about just, you know, they're of a different way, talking about, you know, God's people. There's a coworker at work that went up to Dylan, and he said, "Now I know you and your dad are of that way. I mean, is that why you guys, you know, fix your hair the way that you do?" Whatever. his hairstyle is different than mine, but hey, but you know, and I know who the guy is, and he's a good guy and needs to be saved. But he came back later and said, "Well, there's a guy whose father just passed away, and he's really upset because he drove the 3 hours to get there, but before he could get there, his father passed away, and he's really taking it hard." And he asked Dylan, "Do you think, because you guys are," he didn't know what to say. He just said, "Because you guys are that way, do you think, you know, your dad would be willing to talk to him if he wants to talk?" And, you know, Dylan's like, "Yeah, absolutely." You know, I mean, not everybody knows the words. Not everybody knows, because not everyone's been to church, all right? Not everyone knows, you know, what you're supposed to say, what you're supposed to call it, but everybody knows it's something. Everybody knows that even though they may not believe, they know there's something to it. And again, when you think about Stephen, they're contending with him. The religious people are contending with him. They can't resist him. I mean, they're trying to. And this is why we really need the grace of God in our life, because there will be people that try to, as we say, get your feathers all ruffled. They will try to get you to get defensive. They'll try to get you to, you know, even get a little angry, and they'll push, and they'll try to push a button and try to get you to lose your testimony and not be Christ-like. They couldn't do it to Stephen. I mean, he was speaking, he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and remember, Jesus told them that the Holy Spirit will give us what we need to say at the moment we need to say something. And no doubt Stephen is being resisted because of just what he's preaching, what he's telling them, but they can't resist it. I mean, they're almost being drawn into it, because obviously it's the truth of God's word. He's speaking by the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit of Christ that's in him, giving him this ability. And I am sure there are some, no doubt Paul is being drawn in to it, because Paul is there, and even though the only way they can resist what's happening and resist the conviction, because remember, the Holy Spirit of God takes the Word of God into the hearts of people. It is the sword of the Lord. The Word of God is the sword of the Lord. It's the sword of the Spirit, and the Spirit takes the Word of God into the hearts. Their hearts are being cut with the Word of God. They're being convicted about everything that Stephen is saying in chapter 7. And the only way they can resist it is to kill him, is to try to get rid of the messenger, so hopefully the message stops. But obviously history has taught us that you can get rid of the messenger, but you can't get rid of the message, because the message is God's message. You know, when you think about what's going on, again, there are evil men and seducers that will continue to wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived in our world. But I want you to think in letter A that Stephen, he stood. He stood with the Scriptures. He did not deviate from the Word of God. He didn't try a new tactic or a new way. I mean, again, if you read chapter 7, I encourage you to read chapter 7, you'll see that all the things that Stephen says, it was all true. The Word of God is true, and his message is true. So he stayed with the Scriptures. We don't need to change God's message. We don't need to change God's way of doing things. We don't need to water it down. We don't need to change. God's word will convict people. God's word will offend people. God's word will, it does many different things in the hearts of different people, but obviously the greatest thing is bringing people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and giving them comfort and hope and wisdom and guidance throughout the rest of their life. But Stephen, he stood with the scriptures. It says that Stephen in Acts chapter 6 and verse 5, it says that Stephen was full of faith. And there's a specific formula found in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, should be in your notes, Romans 10, 17, that tells us how to be full of faith. And Romans 10, 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? By the word of God. How does a person's faith grow? Just by going to church and sitting in the pew? No. Oh, I know, giving, you know, the church wants your money, so if you give your money, then, you know, your faith will grow because, you know, you're helping out the church. No. Your faith only grows by the word of God, and what does the word of God teach us? Look at Proverbs chapter 3. Again, if you've been saved any length of time, you've been a Christian for any length of time, you've lived the Christian life for any length of time, you have come to realize that it takes work. The Christian life takes work. In Proverbs chapter 3, and here's the work on our part, okay? Not talking about working for salvation, but the Christian life, the life that we live now, by the faith of Jesus Christ, does take work on our part. In Proverbs chapter 3, look at verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That takes work. That takes work. Because not every situation is the same that we face in life. You know what? I bet it was very easy for Stephen when they came to him. And keep a finger in Proverbs, but I bet it was very easy for Stephen when they came to him and said, we would like for you to be one of the ones that helps the Grecian widows. We'd like for you to help us in the church so that we can, you know, the apostles, so we can continue, you know, studying the word of God, continue praying and doing what we're supposed to do. And, you know, would you be willing? You know, I bet he was, absolutely. Because when you're full of the Holy Spirit and you have faith, you want to help people. And you see a need and you want to meet that need and do whatever you can to meet that need. So you know what? Absolutely. I can trust the Lord. He'll help me to be a blessing to these widows that are here in Jerusalem and whatever else the Lord wants me to do. And again, he was doing miracles along with helping these widows. So trust in the Lord with all thine heart. I can do that. But what about when you're faced with opposition? What about when you're faced with criticism? What about when you're faced with an angry person who's angry at you because of your faith? They're angry at you because you have such peace in your life and they don't have peace. Well, the Bible still says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. I don't understand why everybody would not want what I have in Christ. I don't understand why everybody would not be happy that I finally have peace in my life, because not everybody is happy with someone who has Christ in their life, who gives them comfort and peace, because they don't. Because the saying is true, misery loves company. Misery loves company, but we can't be the company for misery. We have to help the person to see that, you know what, it's better to have the peace of Christ in your life. Because when you get to Acts chapter 8 and Paul starts wrecking havoc of the church, you can just see he's an angry man. He's a man full of bitterness. He's a man full of anger, resentment, and he's taking all of it out on those that he thinks is against his way of life and his way of religion. He thinks he's doing God service by killing off these people that are not being true to his way of thinking and his beliefs. But obviously he meets the Lord on the road to Damascus and his thinking is changed. And all that anger is gone, all that resentment is gone, and all that frustration and unforgiveness, whatever it is that's in his heart. Because again, without Jesus Christ, people can only act the way that they act. They can only respond the way they remove the problem. Sometimes he does, and we're thankful for that, but there are many times where he does not remove the problem because he wants us to experience his grace in our life. He wants us to learn to trust him and to believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, and that he will always give us the right answer. He'll always come through for us, not always the way we expect it, but he'll always come through. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I want you to look at verse number 1. It is not expedient for me, doubtless to glory, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. And again, this is Paul speaking. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth, such an one caught up to the third heaven. I mean, this is Paul. He doesn't, you know, in those verses, he's not really wanting to give himself credit. He just says, I know a man. He says, you know, whether it was a vision I saw, or whether I was literally caught up to the third heaven, he says, only God knows. But to him, it was real. In verse 3, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, you understand he's saying, I would desire to say, man, I saw some wonderful things and heard some wonderful things, just like, you know, John the Revelator was caught up into heaven and saw and heard wonderful things and wrote things down for us. I mean, Paul says, I would love to just, you know, glory in this, but he says, I better not, because it's obviously the Lord allowed it for a reason. He says, yet of myself, I will not glory, but in mine infirmities, verse 6, for though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. Because again, God doesn't want us to lift up man. God doesn't want us to glorify ourselves. Paul, who was stoned at Lystra, stoned and left for dead. When he regained consciousness, he gets up off the ground, and the Bible says he goes right back in the city and departs the next day. Here, when Paul is telling us that 14 years prior to this, he was caught up into heaven. He doesn't know if it was a vision, doesn't know if he was, you know, bodily, literally taken up there, but he saw and heard great things that God allowed him to see and hear. He says, well, I'm not going to glory in myself. I'm not going to glory in my experience. There are many people today who want to glory in the fact that they supposedly have died and went to heaven and came back. I do not believe that. It sounds good. But remember what Jesus said? Remember when he gave that testimony of the rich man and Lazarus? Lazarus being a beggar who died and was carried by the angel into the bosom of Abraham, into paradise. The rich man who would not even give the crumbs off his table to Lazarus to help him died, and the Bible says he lifted up his eyes in hell. And seeing Lazarus afar off, and seeing Lazarus, he cried out to Abraham, if Abraham would send Lazarus over and dip his finger in water, just touch the tip of his tongue to cool it. And the rich man was told, that those that are on this side cannot go to you, you on that side cannot come over here. And the rich man said, would you please send Lazarus or somebody back to tell my brothers? I have five brothers and I don't want them coming here. And he was told, though someone from the dead would go back, doesn't mean that they would listen. And that rich man was said, they have the prophets, they have the word of God to warn them of that place. So that's why I do not believe those that say they died, went to heaven, and came back. Because what do the majority of those people do? They have books written and they make millions of dollars. It's glorifying themselves and their supposed experience. It has nothing to do with glorifying God. One died and rose again, and that's Jesus Christ. And he's the one that we're to look to. He's the one that we're to trust. I can't trust that this person really did die and really did go to heaven. But I can trust that Jesus Christ did, because that's history. That's the Son of God. That was prophesied, and then it came to pass. So what I'm saying is, when you think about, you can trust. You can't trust everything everyone says, but you can trust the Word of God, and that's what we're to build our faith upon, the Word of God, because then what happens is everybody wants an experience. Well, I'd like to have an experience to die and go to heaven and come back. Are you kidding? If I died and went to heaven, Lord, don't send me back. I want to stay, right? I'm saying this. Stephen has a wonderful testimony. There were those that were fighting against him. He's trusting in the Lord. He's standing upon the Word of God. He's not changing one thing he said. In Acts chapter 6, Stephen was in the synagogue of the Libertines. It is said of the Libertines, they were Jews from many nations, resided in Jerusalem in their own quarters, and some of these ethnic groups had their own synagogues. And the freedom were the descendants of Jews who had The freedmen were the descendants of Jews who had previously been in bondage but had won their freedom from Rome. All right? Sure, they had their freedom from Rome, but they were still in spiritual bondage. But Stephen was not in spiritual bondage, though he was in physical bondage to the Roman government, yet he had his freedom in Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 right there in your notes. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That's what Paul wanted to see. Paul wanted people to see the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in their life. Again, as I think about this back in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, again, Paul saw great things, but he wanted God to be glorified, though he did want to kind of glory in what happened to him. But yet in chapter 12, verse 7 says, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. So Paul says, you know what? I was given a thorn in the flesh. The thorn in the flesh that's preached upon by so many preachers, this thorn in the flesh that Paul prayed three times to be removed, he knows it was given to him. He says, it was the messenger of Satan to buffet me. He says, I was given this thorn I was given this thorn in the flesh so that I would not be puffed up in pride on the things that I saw and the things that I heard when the Lord allowed me up to where he was to see and hear these great things. He says, the thorn was given to me. Verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice. So whatever the thorn was, and many speculate, you know, what it might be, but whatever it was, it bothered Paul. He knew it was from God, but it was something that bothered him so much, he asked the Lord three times, okay, would you just take this thorn out of my flesh? Would you just remove this messenger of Satan away from me? But in verse 9, he got the answer. Again, God answers you, but not always the way you want to be answered, but it's always the right answer because it's God's answer. In verse 9, Jesus speaks to him and says, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." So the answer he gets is the Lord Jesus saying, "I will be your strength. I will help you endure the thorn in the flesh." That thorn in the flesh is there to help you. Now, it doesn't make sense to us that the thorn in the flesh would help us. But again, Paul already testified in verse 7, it was there to help him stay humbled. It was there to help him not get so puffed up. Hey, none of the other apostles have been caught up to heaven to see the things I saw. You know, we know John was, because John's the writer of Revelation. He's the writer of 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. But again, Paul, the writer of his epistles, these letters to the churches, so that he wouldn't spend so much time on what happened to him and more time on what the Lord allowed the thorn in the flesh. And Jesus says, "My grace is sufficient for thee." So understand, when we get back to Stephen, God's grace was sufficient for Stephen to go through what Stephen had to go through. And Stephen had to go through it. We don't understand why Stephen had to, but we can see that God chose Stephen to go through what he went through, and God's grace helped him to stand against the opposition. In Acts chapter 6, verse 11 through 14, it says, "Then they suborned men, which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council." These are these libertines, these these religious people that got some men to kind of lie and say some things about Stephen so they could be justified in bringing him before the council. In verse 13, "And they set up false witnesses, which said, this man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered." Again, you know, just trying to get things, get people against Stephen. Again, the devil's always trying to get people against you. But again, God's on your side. You have the grace of the Lord upon your life. Man, we have to stop right here. I can't finish it. But God promises. Actually, you know what? Look in your notes at James chapter 1, verse 2. Should be in your notes. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing or lacking nothing." That word wanting means to lack. You know, you're not lacking anything. We'll have to finish. I thought we could get through all this morning, but obviously we're out of time. But again, thinking about Stephen's life, the grace of God helps us to stand our ground on our faith and our beliefs. The grace of God gives us the comfort, gives us the encouragement that, you know what, we are on the right side. Because all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You know, again, it may not be physical persecution. Many times it's just verbal persecution where someone just says things against you and against your faith. Again, the devil always trying to push buttons in our life to cause us to, you know, what we would say, lose our testimony, not be Christ-like. But when you look at Stephen, the Lord helped Stephen to maintain his Christ-like behavior, to help him maintain the right mindset, to even be able to say, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." I mean, you've got to have the right mindset to be able to do that. And some, well, okay, I won't voice, but I'm just going to think what they really deserve. The fact is, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we know that Stephen was speaking from his heart, that he truly wanted these people. He wanted their lives to be changed. He wanted them to come to the saving knowledge of Christ. But it was God's grace that's helped him all along the way. Now listen, don't wait until you have a tough moment in life to try to have faith in God. Why did they choose Stephen to be one of the first deacons? Because they already saw the Holy Spirit of God in his life. They already saw he was a man full of faith, meaning he exercised his faith. He exhibited his faith. People saw it. So, I mean, when things were going good in his life, man, he had a testimony. So what happens, some people, when things are going good in their life, God's the farthest thing away from their mind because it's, hey, everything's good. But when something happens, God, where are you? Come help me. That's not the way it works. We're to walk close with God when everything's good so that when things seem to fall apart, we stay right next to him and we rely upon his grace in our life to help us through those situations. But again, God's grace in your life just even not just helping you through hard times, but it just reminds you of the love of God for you. Reminds you of the fact that God's with you and that God loves you more than anything and God wants to use you to do great and mighty things that he will do through you. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for the morning. We thank you, Father, for your grace working in our life. Pray, Father, that you would continue to speak to our hearts this morning. I pray that we would continue to listen to your voice as you speak to us and we would draw closer to you. Father, that we'd even be honest with you because you already know where our faith is on the faith scale. You already know, Father, if we have great faith or if we have little faith. Excuse me. If we have great faith or little faith. So I pray, Father, that you would help us, Lord, have a desire for our faith to grow and that faith grows through the Word of God. So, Lord, help us have a desire to not only read the Word of God, but to apply it to our life each and every day. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.